Well, if you've just tuned in, welcome, welcome. This is the Deal Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM, the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. Nikki Seberini here. Hope you are enjoying the show. I'm really excited to chat with our next guest, Gogo Dineo Ndlanzi, who is a Sangoma. And a lot more than that as well, an African storyteller, a spiritual teacher, a life coach, dancer, a trained facilitator, actress. And what I love about Gogo Dineo is that she is merging the sacredness of African spirituality with modern thinking. And I think that's exactly what we need in the world today. Gogo Dineo, thank you so much for joining us. It's so wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Nikki. It's a pleasure being here. And thank you to the listeners as well.
No, it's wonderful to have you. And I'm so interested to hear about your journey because, of course, you don't grow up and say, as far as I know, I want to be a Sangoma. You're almost called or you're, it's like a calling. You can't even kind of get out of it. Maybe you can explain what I'm saying.
Yeah, it definitely it's a calling. And I think to be clear is that all of us are called, right? My favorite verse in Jeremiah says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I sanctified you and I made you a prophet to the nations. This was God speaking to Jeremiah. So meaning each and every single human being that exists in this lifetime and lifetimes after this one come because they are called and we already gotten our blessings, you know. So when we awaken to our calling, that's when we suffer, right? We go through what we call a suffering according to human labels, but spiritually it's an awakening process. So I had to go through my own awakening to realize what my calling was, right? And my calling is not to become a Sangoma. My calling is far greater than being a Sangoma. Being a Sangoma, it's a healing modality that is enabling me to be, you know, to be who God has called me to be. So it's been quite a journey for me because I come from a very strong Christian background. So awakening to African spiritual healing practices was a bit of a challenge because sometimes what religion does, it somewhat removes us from who and truly what God is, right? Because God is not religion. Religion needs God to exist. You know, God is omnipresent, omniscient. God is source. God is creator energy that exists in humans, animals, in every living entity that, you know, I see the spirit of God. Where there's beauty and there's a life force to be revered, that's where God resides. So me and you are also physical manifestations and expressions of God or extensions of God. So when we come here, we are here to serve a divine purpose. We're here to aid. We're here to add value. And when life seems to collapse, it means we are out of alignment with our assignment. And that's one of the things that I had to discover. And it was not an easy one. So I didn't wake up and say, yay, I'm called. Yay, I'm going to train and become a Sangoma. And it's very typical of a lot of people who have spiritual callings, you know, because it's not a something that has been nurtured at home, something that has been taken care of at home, because we don't live in society where we embrace the other, something that's different outside the norm. You know, we've got a generation now that are called indigo children. These are children who are highly sensitive, who are highly impaired, who seek and sought out for social justice. And society persecutes them or calls them radicals or rebels. But these are the generations that are called because when we are called for change. We are called to move society. We are called to move systems from where they're at to somewhere better. Because remember, God is for us all. God is about oneness. God is about unity. God is about coming together. So the minute we start to divide and conquer, the minute there's fragmentation, the minute there's distortions, there'll be souls that come on earth to really remind us of godliness.
Yeah, I love that. Wow, thank you so much for that, Gogo Dineo. I want to take you back a little bit to this awakening that you speak of, that the suffering you speak of, the fact that you were brought up Christian and there is this calling to move in the direction of African spiritual healing, that you're more than the Sangoma. So for the person who's listening, you know, we so often hear that what it's through the greatest darkness that we see the light. It's through the pressure that we find the freedom. And you're speaking to this as if this was your experience. You talk about suffering and awakening. Can you perhaps unpack that a little bit for us? You know, the idea that we have to suffer to find the enlightenment or the awakening. What is that all about?
And suffering is human interpretation of experiences.
Just say that again.
Suffering, it's a human interpretation of experiences.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily that you're suffering. You know, the suffering is how do you engage with the experience? You know, so there's some people who can engage with the experience depending on the level of their consciousness, and they see that as beautiful, but somebody else can see it as ugly. So it's an awakening. I call it an awakening stage, and we go through different awakening stages. So what my belief is that when we are born, we already born with this gift. We already born with the knowing. But upon arriving on earth, we've got what we call a soul amnesia. So a forgetting, because we are spiritual beings that are having a human experience. So in order for us to have a human experience, we have to forget certain things. Can you imagine, Nikki, at 2 and at 3 and at 5, you remember everything. Like you remember what you're going to be at 45. You remember that you're going to, you know, be diagnosed with cancer at 35. You don't want to remember all of those because it's going to rob you of life experience. So when you go through the awakening experience, so my awakening, it happened, the first experience I encountered with this gift was when I had a premonition at a Bible camp, where I saw two visions of my form, you know, of my, you know, there were students that I was at school with, and we were all at the Bible camp. And of course they felt, you know, I was being ridiculous. So they, you know, the whole thing became mediocre. But what happened is that 2 weeks later, one ended up in hospital, and then the other one came back crying, asking for more information. And I'm like, I don't have information. I just got that message then. And by the way, we're not supposed to access that world, you know. So, you know, let's not talk about it. And I let it go. But then when I was in matric, I got an academic scholarship to go to an American school, I guess, because I have a genius brain. So there at the school, that's when I started to look like I was losing my sanity. So I was hearing voices. I was having vivid dreams, but they were scary because I was young and I didn't know what to make of them. And I was in an environment that was not home either, you know? So I then got diagnosed. I was sent to a mental institution. I was diagnosed with temporal lobe epilepsy, and they thought I was psychotic, but I was actually going through an awakening because science at the time, and where science is moving now, it's understanding indigenous ways of healing and how people enter into indigenous medicine, that some of it goes through, they go through a psychotic episode to awaken the medicine inside them. So yeah, so I was diagnosed, and for about a year I stayed with that diagnosis. Then I had another episode, and then a doctor undiagnosed me on the spot. So there I was as a teenager. I was a young adult at the time because I was 17, 18. I had a diagnosis. I have no diagnosis. So what's wrong with me? Science couldn't tell me. Well, they said I had temporal lobe epilepsy. Now I don't have it. So I have to stop taking my medication because my medication apparently was making me worse. So I remember just one episode where my dad went to a healer because I wasn't coming out of that episode. So it felt like my neck was being disjointed from my body. It is weird. I mean, I had people from different churches come and pray. I felt like it was a day of torture. And my dad bought a herbal medicine from a Sangoma in the neighborhood. And I sniffed it and my neck snapped back and I felt so exhausted, but better, but I still refused because it did not align with my belief system as a Christian. But fast forward to that, it wasn't going away. The calling wasn't going away. The dreams were not stopping. And some of the things I would dream would come to pass, you know? And some of the experiences or the people I would see that I've not met before, when I spoke to family, they're like, oh, that's a great grandmother of ours. Oh my God, how did you know about this? Or where did you get this information? And it felt like my whole life, there was always a hurdle that I couldn't get over, irrespective of how much work I would put in. For example, I worked hard. I grew up in Alexandra Township, and I knew that I can break free from, you know, the poverty cycle. I knew my life was not based there, and I was gonna work hard for it. But somewhat, I couldn't. I couldn't break out of that cycle. You know, I went to an American school. My diploma got delayed to arrive in South Africa, so it affected my enrollment in varsity. And when it came, it was misspelled. And the address, because it needed to be delivered at the American International School of Johannesburg in Bryanston. So on the address, the typed out address said Bryanston. I typed it up and it was electronic. My exam was electronic. So things get verified electronically. There's no Bryanston in South Africa, there's Bryanston. So it would have rejected the address. But how did it get printed out at Bryanston that it took 6 months for my diploma to come to South Africa? This is what we call the spiritual phenomena, right? So then it means I missed, and then I ended up going into community work because I wanted to study environmental science or go into IT. So my dad said, well, you know, you've missed, I lost my bursary, you know, to go to varsity. So my dad said, I can pay for you to go to college. I mean, this is South African college, because America college is, it's university. So I'm like, great, then I don't have to do this. I wanna do acting. So can I study drama? Can I study advertising? Or be a, you know, study journalism, because I loved telling stories and writing stories. And my dad said, no, you're gonna be poor and broke. Go and do community service. And that's literally what I did. I went and enrolled on a volunteer program. And at the time, HIV and AIDS was a, you know, a pandemic emerging. So I committed my life there. And somewhat, I guess that's when, you know, the healer in me started to surface or emerged. And then I went into performing arts as well. You know, that connected me to my African roots, because as a Christian, I wasn't connected to those roots. And together, those two fields, right, started to nurture the healer in me. You know, when I left the arts to go into corporate, and I left community service to go into corporate, for some time it was okay, but the psychoticness returned again, you know, to a point where I thought, no, I must get, you know, assessed again. It can be. It means maybe they made an error. I have some sort of mental illness. And then, you know, my husband, who was my partner then, said, no, we need to go see a Sangoma or a C. I'm like, no, I'm not into those things. But when we went, because I was told then, when I was at a mental institution, when my dad, you know, went to that healer, that I have a gift, but I refused. So when we went, they said, you are experiencing what you are experiencing because you are spiritually gifted. And Nikki, I want to say something. I go into training as a Sangoma, as a believer, right? I didn't believe in the practice. I've exhausted my options. So I went to train because I've exhausted my options. And the turning point for me was because I had a miscarriage. You know, I had a miscarriage, an unexplainable miscarriage, and my dad took me for a cleansing. And when they took me for a cleansing, they also told me that there's a ritual that I need to do that anchors me in my bloodline, in my lineage, called imbeleko, right? And I did that, and things started to fall into place. Like things that I was struggling to get were falling into place. So I went into the practice as an unbeliever, but the practice worked for me. So when I went for training, I'm like, let me explore this. What do I have to lose? Because really life was becoming unpleasant, because I wasn't physically ill, unlike other people, because, you know, these symptoms are not the same for everyone. But it felt like I was always misplaced, and I was in a deep state of depression or something, or I had bipolar. I just felt like I had all these things. I just didn't know how to, you know, to define them. But when I went into training, right, and I found my trainer through a dream, I knew that I didn't know this woman. I didn't know where she stayed, but the dream was so vivid that for me When I went to her house, I got chilled because everything that I saw and what I saw in that dream was situated exactly as is. And when I began my training and I started to train as a Sangoma, the sense of peace that overcame me, right? I lost my job. There was a lot that I lost while I was training, but the peace that I got, everything else didn't matter. That was what I was seeking all my life, just to feel alive again inside of me. And that is something that nobody could give you. You gotta align to the call, whatever that call is for you. Unless you're aligned, you will not experience that peace. Then I said, there's something to this. Then I started to practice while I was in training and seeing the medicine that came out of the work that I did. That is what was a turning point. So I believed through experiencing it. I didn't go in as a believer.
Yeah, it's almost as if, the doors of life just kept closing on you, kind of pointing you at the one door, until you, that was the door that was open. I mean, that's pretty extraordinary. And this is your very unique journey, but I'm sure there are many people who are listening who can relate, on some level where they're trying and it feels like they're swimming upstream or they're trying to do what other people say they should do or if it doesn't align with who they think they are. And sometimes, as you say, I mean, you went in not even believing it, but the belief came as you did the training. Sometimes we have to have faith, trust, be open to the experience. What an extraordinary story, Gogo Dineo. And I just, that you don't define yourself just as a Sangoma, that you are trying to bring this sacred African spirituality into modern thinking, as I said right at the introduction, I think is really important. We look at a huge influence from the East when it comes to mindfulness and when it comes to yoga and when it comes to a whole lot of things that we see all around us, certainly, the pundits pushing it on social media. And I, for one, would love to see more coming out of African spirituality. Is that kind of a push for you to show the power, the healing power? How are you navigating this part of the journey, bringing this into modern thinking and getting more and more people to recognize it for what it is?
So I think for me, Africa is about 23 million years old. And we know that it is the cradle of humankind. So we know that Africa is also the mother of healing modalities, right? It's just that what happened historically is some of the stories of African healing got distorted because when people look at indigenous practices, they would focus a lot on the dark side of it. So I'm even loving this conversation because it's about we are being curious, we are trying to gather knowledge and wisdom versus we are trying to persecute the practice. Because if you look over the period of time, and yes, the stories that have been told, take for example, not the current Shaka iLembe movie, but if you series, but if you look at the story of Shaka Zulu, right, a very quite powerful, well-known story, but how they present the healer in that scene, like this eerie looking demonic dark entity that is giving such a powerful prophecy versus how that is told now, where it's a Sanusi telling of a king that is yet to be born and what this king is gonna do for for then a Zulu tribe, a small group of people. They were not even a tribe, a small group of people, which then became a whole Zulu kingdom. So in the work that I do is doing work like this, Nikki, is sharing, demystifying the myths and stereotypes. Because as I say, I did not go into it as a believer. I went in it as, I come, as I said, from a Christian background. And my work is to tell the story of African healing through my own lived experiences, one, and the experiences of those that I work with. I train other healers, and most of the people that come to my practice are professionals. These are engineers, these are lawyers, these are accountants. So these are not people who are bored and have nothing else to do with their lives. These are people that have tried everything else in their life, and they had to go back home. They needed to reconnect to Mother Africa, to the cradle of humankind, because that's where medicine is. I mean, nature, in Genesis, we are told to eat from the earth. So we use medicine, we use natural herbs. When Chinese use it, it's celebrated. When, like you said, the East use it, I mean, Eastern medicine, homeopathy is celebrated, but African medicine is demonized because why does it have to be? Because, of course, somebody else has to benefit at the expense of moving people away from African medicine. Because even the art of healing in African spiritual healing is not just about the healing, is not only in the herbs, the healing is in the music. Sangoma is one whose healing is birthed through sound, right? And dance and music. And we know dance is quite therapeutic. Because dance actually helps us release energies that are stored in our body, trauma that is stored in the body. When you dance it out, you release, it's liberating. When you're singing, you are actually expressing things that you are carrying that you don't have words for. That's why music is so powerful. That's why I don't understand the language. I don't know what they are saying, but it's just so powerful. One of my favorite series is The House of David. And when David sings, right, I don't hear Hebrew, but it's just powerful. You could feel the presence of God in that music. So healing is about that. It's about returning us to our God self. It's about making us whole. And African healing is the cradle of humankind. This is where everything else began, and this is the story that I want to tell. This is the work that I want to tell, and to show so many elements to it, because I'm not only trained as a Sangoma, I'm trained as an inner child coach. So this is where we work with childhood traumas. I'm trained as a relationship coach, right? And I see how I infuse and all of these things in my practice as a Sangoma. Because I realize that being a Sangoma, you're a counselor, you're a therapist, you are so many things. It's just modernity as well. And I hear you want to ask something, but what sometimes we do in the name of modernity, we can actually take away what is essential, because we live, I call it the micro oven era, the microwave era, where everything must be quick and fast. So we're no longer wanting to plant, plow, water, prune. We just want to plant and eat, So even with healing, when people come for healing in my practice, especially our fellow Africans in the diaspora, they want a quick fix, So don't go to a Sangoma that promises you will win the lotto. I will cure you of this. It's work. As a healer journeys with you. A healer awakens the healer in you. A healer is to empower the medicine that is inside you. So all I have to do with my work is to help you remember.
Gogo Dineo, I mean, I could carry on having this conversation with you for endless time. It's so fascinating, and you so share my outlook. And I think that you are the perfect storyteller, and you have the voice to share this beautiful sacredness, to share the stories, to share the healing, and bring it into the modern world in a way that people understand, in the way that people can use it. And I just love this, the ancient wisdom merging with the modern thinking, and hopefully, not have this outsourcing Insta world, but going back, as you say, remembering who we are. So thank you for that. It's been so fascinating. It's been so wonderful having you on the show, and I am now following you on Instagram, and I look forward to hearing many more stories and following your experiences. It's been fabulous. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nikki. I appreciate.
Thank you. Gogo Dineo Nlanzi, just absolutely fascinating. And I'm sure that you enjoyed that just as much as I did. So we've come to the end of the show. I have really, really enjoyed being in your company. So from me, Nikki Seberini, until next week, take care and goodbye.